after this week, there is a lot of fear going on. There's a lot that's been happening in the news, and I know we've been on a media fast, but I'm certain you've heard of it. They're too big of events not to have heard of. The assassination of Charlie Kirk, a school shooting, a horrible, violent murder on a tram, some sort of a train or subway, I believe it was. And of course, we know that things like this, tragedy strikes all around the world. These things have caught great media attention. And at the end of the day, I think we just recognize, right? We've been talking about it for years, that this thing is wrapping up. And as it does, these conditions are not going to get better. They're going to worsen. Praise the Lord. That's why I cling to Jesus these days more than ever. Hallelujah. And you know what? It's put a burden in my heart to proclaim the name of Jesus louder than I ever have, to preach the word of God with more conviction than I ever have. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I believe we're getting ready to see great revival in the country of the United States of America, in this city, in Jesus' name. And we're preparing for it right now with this fast in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to say welcome to our guest. God bless you. Wonderful to have you here. Praise the Lord. Wonderful to have you here again as well. God bless you and everybody else who's joined with us. Thank you for coming. My wife is going to be coming and preaching. She is a reverend. She is a licensed minister with the United Pentecostal Church International. Again, that means that the reason I bring that up, she's embarrassed that I bring that up. The reason I bring that up is because I want you to know she's not just approved by me. I approved of her 12 years ago, 13 years ago, hallelujah, when I married her. But she has sat in a room with a bunch of intimidating elders and got their approval as well. That's why I bring that up. Oh, and I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I feel the witnesses here. I believe the Lord's going to use her. He has anointed her and he's blessed her. How many of you going to worship the Lord with her as she comes to preach? Come on, Sister Mee, and have your way and let the Lord use you.
Praise the Lord. I am going to get to my scriptures quickly. I know you've been standing for a while here, but I do just want to say that I believe that there is an absolute divine alignment here today, because Sister Guts Morris, she was talking about the ministry. She, the missionary, she quoted one of my main scriptures, and the word of the Lord that came in the worship directly just confirms the word of the Lord this morning. So I just want you to know that you're here for a reason and that God has a word for you here today. Praise the Lord. And so I'm just going to read two quick passages, and then I'll have you be seated. But if we could turn to Mark chapter 12, and it's going to be verse 41 through 44. You may be familiar with this passage here. Mark 12, starting at verse 41. It says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing," which I looked it up, in today's money, that would be 1/8 of a penny. "And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Now, I'm not talking about finances this morning, but if I could just read one more passage, I think you'll be able to put the connection together. But if we can flip over to then Luke 9:23. It says, "And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? This morning, I just want to talk about the blessing of sacrifice. And Sister Slade here this morning spoke through God and saying that he is wanting more from us. We are in this fast, and I know that Pastor has been talking about fasting the last few Wednesdays and things like that, and I'm not here to repeat any of that, but I am here to just say that this is a time where God is asking for more from us. He's asking for our sacrifice, but I'm here to tell you that there is blessing in it. It is a privilege to sacrifice for God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can go ahead and be seated. We often view sacrifice as something negative, right? Which it is a giving up, right? It is hard. It is something that requires something of us. And we think of it, you know, when we think of sacrifice in the Bible, that we have to give something up in exchange for some future blessing, right? Heaven, right? And so we see it as like a give and get relationship. It's a burden that we bear for heavenly rewards. But I believe that there is a deeper and more profound way to view our sacrifice, and that is as a privilege. The widow in the beginning, she sacrificed. That was the point, right? The others, they were giving of their abundance. It wasn't a sacrifice for them. But Jesus recognized her sacrifice. And, you know, in today's culture, it's all about gaining, right? It's not about giving up. It's about gaining. But the Bible says to deny ourselves. And what do we get if we gain the whole world, but we lose our own soul? And so it may be contrary to society or culture or the things that we, you know, see and hear out there. But in God's kingdom, he requires sacrifice. Romans 12, chapter 1, or Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When the Bible is talking about a living sacrifice, it's talking about a total and ongoing dedication of our entire life to God. It's not just a one-time experience, right? This it's a living sacrifice. And so it's an act of worship, and it's in response to God's mercy. This act of living worship, it's not a ritual, but it's a very thoughtful, very rational offering of our entire selves, our mind, our actions, and our will. And to live in a way that is holy and pleasing to God. And it's a commitment that transforms our thinking and our actions. And you know, sometimes maybe to somebody who has never heard this scripture or is not a Christian or something, that might seem like a lot, like God's asking a lot of us, right? And God does require sacrifice. He does require our devotion. But when we recognize that his plan is better than anything that we could do on our own, we can count it a privilege to offer ourselves into his hands. And when we consider the sacrifice that he made for us, we can count it as a privilege to sacrifice for him. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, that ye shall call on me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So it's a sacrifice. We're giving ourselves to him, but when we put ourselves in his hands, hallelujah, we can trust that he is doing it for our good. Everything is working for our good. And I know here this morning that many of you give yourselves fully to the work of God that is in this church. And it can get easy to get caught up in the what and forget about the why. It can get easy to see it as work and not as a privilege. But when we consider the blessings of sacrifice, we can realign our thoughts, our perspective on sacrifice. I know that it's a sacrifice to be here at midweek service. You work all day, you got to come home, you got to cook, you got to hurry, you got to get the kids ready, whatever the case is for you and your family. It's a sacrifice. I know it's a sacrifice to be here early on a Sunday morning for music practice or for the meeting. I know that it's a sacrifice to get up an extra 30 minutes or an hour to pray or to read your Bible. I know it's a sacrifice to set out a weeknight to have a devotion with your kids or your family. All of these things that are required of us in talking about being a living sacrifice. I understand that those things are hard. They are still a sacrifice. It's not supposed to be easy. Sacrifices are not something that comes easily. I know that it's a sacrifice, but I'm here to tell you that it is also a privilege. It is a privilege to be in the house of God every time the doors are open. It's a privilege to be with each and every one of you in fellowship. It's a privilege to be able to have a relationship with our Creator. Hallelujah. And it's a privilege to know this truth and to read it and to study it and to be a part of God's perfect plan. Those things are a sacrifice, but they are a privilege. My husband and I have done all that we can to teach our children that ministry is a privilege. And you guys know that it can be a sacrifice. When I talk about my kids, I get emotional, but they're here every time we're here. This is their second home. They do everything. They clean, they help with anything that we ask them to help with. And when Rebecca, I think my husband even joked about it a couple years ago, but, you know, she used to say, oh, we got to go to church. Why do we have to go to church? I don't want to go to church again. We were just at church. Weren't we at church last night? I don't want to go to church. And so we worked hard to help them to understand that it is a privilege. No, we don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. And so now they're able, and it's such a beautiful thing to see ministry as an opportunity. It's not, I have to do this, but I get to do this. My daughter loves ushering on weeknights. My son loves playing the drums on Sunday. All of these things because we've tried to teach them that it is an opportunity, that it is a privilege. It is a sacrifice, right? So much time and energy goes into practicing an instrument and to practice singing, or if you are, you know, having to clean the church, or if you have to prep for your ministry, or if you have to, you know, get communications, get things together, or the finances that you put into your work in the kingdom of God, all those things are a sacrifice. Hallelujah. But they are a privilege. And when we withhold our sacrifice, we are missing out on some of those blessings. And some of you, hopefully most of you, if you're not a visitor or a guest, are participating in the Power 21 fast. It's a 21-day fast that we're doing. And I know that up until a couple days ago, it wasn't too bad. It's getting a little hard, and it's going to get a little harder here real soon. And I don't want to make this whole thing about fasting, because sacrifice is so much more than that. But I believe here that the presence of God that we felt here in this worship service, I believe that that power came from our sacrifice. That blessing of worship came through our fasting and through our sacrifice. And so I do just want to talk a minute about it. And if you're not fasting with us or you haven't been a part of this, please, it can apply to our other sacrifice as well. But I do just want to make some comparisons, because I believe that we can learn from it. The original form of sacrifice in the Bible we know is the animal sacrifices, right? And these accomplished five main things, and I believe that our sacrifice through fasting, through this fast, through the unity of fasting together and doing this together, that it can bring us these same blessings. First, it brought atonement and humility. For the animal sacrifices, it restored their fellowship with God. For our fasting, it humbles our both our body and our heart, and it allows us to be dependent on God, right? It, as we go without, we realize how much we truly depend on God. Secondly, it was about covenant relationship. The animal sacrifices, it was obedience to God's command, and it kept Israel aligned with his covenant. Our fasting demonstrates our devotion and sincerity for God's presence, and it aligns us with his will. It was for purification. The sacrifices, ritual purity was regained through the offerings, and it allowed access to sacred space. And our fasting, when we empty ourselves of worldly reliance and we cleanse our soul, hallelujah, if you weren't here to hear the message that Pastor did on Wednesday about the leaven and purging the leaven, hallelujah, cleansing our lives and purging the sin, hallelujah, all of that comes when we deny ourselves, when we fast, and that's why we do a media fast along with the food fast. It allows us to just empty ourselves. Fourthly was thanksgiving. There were thanks offerings, certain animals and certain things were given in sacrifice to express gratitude. And we see just in singing that song, gratitude, hallelujah, and through this fast, that it directs our attention to God and it brings gratitude. And lastly, it was for a part of their identity, right? This was something that they did as the children of God. It brought community and identity. Their shared sacrifices united Israel in worship, and this church fast unifies us in our shared devotion. So just as those sacrifices used an external act to point to the inward reality of repentance, dependence, thanksgiving, all of those things, fasting works in a similar way, because when we are giving up that physical nourishment, and we are receiving those inward benefits, those spiritual blessings. And so when you are a living sacrifice for God, and now whether that's the fast or just being a living sacrifice, right, being a Christian, doing what God has required of us, giving of your time, your energy, your talents, all of those things, when you are a living sacrifice, you gain these things. A deeper relationship and connection with God, because it creates a space for prayer and for listening. You gain humility and repentance. It allows God to purge the leaven again. It allows God to convict us and helps us to get rid of the things that should not be in our life. It brings clarity and discernment because it removes all the distractions. It brings spiritual strength because it trains our will to resist temptation. Because the thing is when we're constantly feeding our body, it's easy to then feed other things as well. And so when we are able to get our bodies in submission, we're able to resist the food and the all those things, the temptation of that, it will help us to train our bodies and our will to resist temptation in all areas of our life and help us to discipline ourselves. Another one is intercession, because it allows God to place his needs on our hearts. So much we get caught up in our own needs and we get caught up in our own wants, and we're just, before we know it, just praying for ourselves all of the time. When we fast and we give up these things, we deny ourselves, and it allows God to put his needs on our hearts. We're able to pray for others, intercede for others, hallelujah, and do his will. And lastly is consecration. It demonstrates our love and our priority for him over all of our physical needs. And we consecrate ourselves these things are blessings and things that we can count it as a privilege to sacrifice. Because sacrifice is a demonstration of our love. The degree of our love for God, for the gospel, and for each other can be measured by what we are willing to sacrifice for them. Jesus Christ manifested this example of love for us, this supreme example, right? His life and ministry established a pattern for us to follow. His divine mission was culminated in this act of love, that act of sacrifice. He allowed his own life to be sacrificed for us. He had power over life and over death, and he chose to submit himself to pain, to ridicule, to suffering, and offered his life as a ransom for our sins. Because of his love, he suffered both body and spirit to a degree that is beyond our comprehension. And he took upon himself our sins when we repent, if we repent. And so through his personal sacrifice, he provided a way for us to have our sins forgiven. And so when we consider his example, what he asks of us in return is not that much. It's slight in comparison. Then we can start to count it as a blessing and a privilege. When we consider that, when we consider what Jesus has done for us and the things that God has sacrificed for us, we can begin to change our mindset from this isn't just a sacrifice, but it is a privilege. And so let's consider for a moment the blessings that come when we give ourselves as a living sacrifice to him. Now, there are so many scriptures. I could be here all day saying them all, and forgive her at the computer because I'm just going to go quickly through them. Hallelujah. But these were just some that I just picked out because I couldn't, if I had looked at them all, we'd be here all day. But the blessings of being a sacrifice, a blessing of living for God, being a living sacrifice. Proverbs 10:22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, and he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Psalm 34:10, it says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want of any good thing." Malachi 3:10, it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Hallelujah. When we sacrifice ourselves, when we sacrifice our will, our wants, our desires, when we give up our physical nourishment and these different things and we give them to God, hallelujah, we have access to all that he provides. Hallelujah. And we can know that, God, it is a privilege to sacrifice. It is a privilege to fast. It is a privilege to come to church. It is a privilege, God, to be with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And if we could stand this morning, I think that's why my husband gives such a nice lengthy intro there, because he knows that I don't go long. But hallelujah. When we sacrifice, and I know that coming up here, that this fast already is a sacrifice. And if you're able to join us, if you haven't Hallelujah. I pray that even if you just start on Friday we start a new group of foods that you can eat, join in, because when we do, when we sacrifice, hallelujah, we can count it as a privilege because we have access to the blessings and the favor of God. Hallelujah. We can have a clarity with Him, a discernment of His voice, to know His will. Sometimes we're praying, God, give me direction. God, help me to know what Your will is. Hallelujah. And sometimes it just takes some sacrifice to get there. Sometimes there's just too much noise. There's too much distractions going on. And when we cut away those things, that's when God can just illuminate that path for us and show us that purpose. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah, just as Jesus experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane, there will be situations in our lives where we will be asked to make tough choices and difficult sacrifices. And you may have already experienced some in your life and or currently experiencing, and again with the fast, we're going to experience. But I hope that in these moments that not only will we choose to make these sacrifices, but that we will come to view them as opportunities and as a privilege. I pray that we will have the courage and the humility to sacrifice all that we have to Him, including our will, to bless the Lord and to build His kingdom. And I testify here today that if we do that, the Lord will bless you. Hallelujah. So at this time, this altar is open. If you can come, I just